as a Christian, it seems that way. That at the time that we're looking for God, it seems like sometimes we can't find him. Hallelujah. God knows where he's at, but it seems like we can't find him. Today I want to talk to you about those times when you can't find God. I want to talk about those times in your life when you feel real empty. I want to talk about those times in your life when you feel lost. I want to talk about those times when you just simply need God more than anything else. I don't know about you this morning, but I need God today more than anything else. More than anything else. When you look at the news, you know that you need God more than anything else. When you see people losing their lives, you wonder, I wonder if they had a relationship with God. Each and every day, each and every moment, we need God more than anything else. We getting distracted by the devil with all of this other stuff going on, but we need God more than anything else. Today, the text is going to come from Psalm 63. And in this psalm, David found himself chasing after God. Amen? The scripture read as follows. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your glory and your power, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the riches of food. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you as though I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. And if the title in this psalm is right, David wrote this while he was in the wilderness. And there were two times in David's life when he was in the wilderness, when he was running from Saul and when he was running from his son Absalom. All of a sudden, David's life is falling apart. You see, David had this sin with Bathsheba. And right after he had that sin, everything started going haywire in his life. He doesn't know what's going on. He probably felt like God was nowhere around. I don't know about you, but have you ever felt like you didn't know God was around because everything was going on? David is put in a position where he is chasing God with all of his heart. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been just rolling along in your life and everything seems like it's going great? Everything is fine. And then all of a sudden, life hits you hard. Amen? And you can't really figure out what's going on. But you feel like God has left the building and you can't find him. Do I have any people that has ever been through that before? And when you're in that position, you can only go two ways. You can get bitter at God and walk away. Or you can decide that you have to have God back in your life and chase him with everything that you got. In this situation, David chose to chase God. He didn't roll over, but here's the other thing. He didn't blame God. You know, sometimes things happen in our life. We want to blame God for it. Don't blame God. Don't walk away. You see, in verse 2, David remembered how his relationship with God used to be. It says, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. You see, when things get bad, you have to understand and remember, go back and remember when God had that power, when he did things for you. and you knew that you were worshiping an awesome God. And you knew you were worshiping an awesome God. You know, you can't say you have things are good. You got to know that you have an awesome God when things are not good. Amen? David remembered how his relationship used to be. He remembered when he experienced the real presence of God. Do you know there is a presence that God has that you can experience? How many have truly, really experienced the presence of God in your life? That means that a lot of you really didn't, because I don't hear a lot of applause. Because when you truly experience God in your life, God has a relationship with you. When you have a relationship with somebody, there is something that you feel on the inside. When you say that you're in love with somebody, there's a feeling, there's an emotion that you have. There's a closeness that you feel. If you have never had that relationship with the Lord, I suggest to you, try it. You need to try it. David knew what the very real presence of the God in his life meant. David understood it. He could go back in time when he was in trouble and remember, I know how it feels to have God in my life. I know what it feels like to have his presence. If you're getting in trouble and you don't know where God is, maybe you don't know, maybe you have never experienced that feeling of God in your life. When God is in your life, it's not a surface love. It's a deep love. David says, I know that I love you. I love you more than life. When you love God more than life, no, you know that whatever's going on in your life, God's love is going to take you through it. David remembered the power and the glory of God working in his life. Have you ever had the power and the glory of God working in your life? These are experiences that you got to go through. I looked at Sister Benjamin, she just clapped, because she has experienced it. When somebody is almost near death, God brings you back. God lifts you up from the miry clay. God takes you off of the deathbed. You have experienced the glory and power of God in your life. Some of us don't need to have to go there to say amen. David wanted it back, and he wanted to live. But he wanted it back more than he wanted to live. Do we want it back, God's glory in our life, more than we want to live? I was thinking about my cousin, because even before she passed, she was planning her funeral and asked me certain questions. And I said, what would I say? I said, well, you know what? She had a relationship with the Lord, and she had peace with everything. And I said, when somebody has peace with it, what can you say? People are looking for her to live, and she's looking to go to glory. Amen? We want her to live and go through the pain and suffering, and God is saying, you don't need to go through this. Go, come on home, my child. Amen? But not just that. When a believer dies, it's a birthday. Come on, somebody. When a believer dies, it's a birthday. So it wasn't a death day, it was her birthday. Oh, hallelujah. Let's follow David's lead and chase after God. You see, David wanted his connection with God more than anything else. He earnestly, totally chased after God. Sometimes we don't know, we say that God is not answering our prayers and the things that we want. Are you truly chasing after God? He knows your heart. Are you truly chasing after God? You chase after money. We work 2 and 3 jobs, don't we? Because we want them dollars. 2 and 3 jobs. We'll chase after the money. We chase after the opposite sex because we want to have a relationship with them. We want to marry somebody. Sometimes we just want to get with somebody. I'm going to tell it like it is. And you chase after them. And you put your all into it. But you know, after you get what you chased after, the passion is gone. Sometimes when we're in trouble, we chase after God, and He answers our prayer, and then the passion is gone. David chased after God, man after God's own heart. That's why he's called that, because he chased after God. Not that he didn't sin, but God knew his heart and he chased after him. God knows your heart. Are you chasing after God this morning? David knew that his soul would be dried up without God. He knew that there's no place else he could fulfill his body, his soul, his emotion, because he was empty without God. Don't you know once you know him that you're empty without him? It had to be God or he would die. David was obsessed with chasing after God. Are you thirsty for God's presence in your life? Sometimes we're not thirsty for his presence in our life. Because if he's in your life, then the things that you still want to hold on to, that you don't want to give up, you can't do it because God is in there. But when you chase after God and he fills you up, there's no room for that other foolishness. We have to make our goal in life to chase after God. We got to get rid of all that other stuff that's less important. Have you ever got something that was so important you chased after it, and then after you got it, it really wasn't all it was cracked up to be? You go out there, you buy a brand new car, and then as soon as you get it, it's not all it was cracked up to be. As soon as you get it, somebody comes along and scrapes your car with a key. As soon as you get it, you go parking in a lot so everybody can see it. Somebody with an old car bangs the door against your car. All of a sudden, you're riding and styling and profiling down the highway, and then a rocket shield. And now you got to go replace it. It ain't all it's all cracked up to be. It's time to filter out the less important stuff. Amen? Sometimes those promotions that we're fighting for, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Because it takes away who you are. It takes away your ability to serve the Lord. It takes away your ability to be with your family. It takes away your ability to pray. It takes away your ability. Those are distractions of the enemy. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't get a promotion. I'm saying you take what God gives you. But when you chase after something, you're putting something before God. He says, thou shalt have no other God before me. Not only that, you should not chase anything before him. It's time to get on our knees. It's time to open up our Bibles. It's time to get involved with other people who are chasing God too. Can two walk together unless they agree? Why things are not happening in your life? Because you're walking with the enemy. You're walking with people you got no business being around. Soon as they open their mouth and they start talking something, instead of you disputing it as a child of God or correcting them, you're keeping your mouth quiet. Quiet means that you go along with it, that you're in agreement with it. David was not in a happy position. His own son wanted him dead. His king wanted him dead. He was in the desert, and he felt abandoned by God. But he didn't even let none of that stop worshiping him. You know, when we're going through something, that is the time to worship the Lord. The demons cannot stand to hear you worship him. They can't stand to hear you call his name. You got to worship God no matter what. Whether God rescues you or not, whether God does what you want him to do or not, you still worship him, because our minds are limited, and what you want God to do, God got something greater. David kept on singing. David kept on praising the God he served, because God deserved it. When we get upset, God does not, he's still a God that we should serve. When we get upset, God should still be served. He should still be praised, because in spite of what is going on, he is still blessing you. Amen? Don't let the stuff that you're going through rob you of worshiping God. Is there anybody going through anything today? Come on now. Are you going through something today? I'm here to tell you, don't let it stop you worshiping God. As a matter of fact, your praises should be louder. They should be longer. They should be more. They should be more persistent. You should tell the devil, get behind me. David still hung on to God because he knew God would uphold him. In the verse, he says, in verse 8, he said, I still cling to you, and your right hand still upholds me. David knew what it meant to serve God. He knew he served the mighty God. Make up your mind today that if nothing ever gets better than it is today, that you're going to still worship the Lord, that you're still going to praise him, that you're still going to serve him, that you're still going to honor him. Oh, hallelujah. Because he still has a place for you. He still makes a way for you. He's still waiting for you to come visit him. He's still waiting for you to come live with him. He's still clearing out paths for you. But Jesus gives us more expectation than even David did. Jesus says in Matthew 7:7-11, ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. I just got to stop right there. If you knock, the door ain't open for me. But if you knock, the door is open for you. That's why sometimes you don't need a pastor to pray for you. He says, knock, and the door will be open to you. He didn't say knock and then call the pastor and ask him to pray so I can open the door for you. For everyone who asks, did he say some? He said everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. Don't be sitting back not seeking. Don't be waiting around all in a daydream. He said the one that seeks, the one that seeks, are you seeking today? The one that seeks, why is that one blessed and I'm not? The one that seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it gets open. It didn't say ask and it's going to get done. It doesn't say seek. It says ask, seek, knock. Those are three words. Three different distinct things that we should do. We can't, if 99 and a half is not going to get you into heaven, how can one of three things get you what you want? How can one of three things that you're only going to do a third of it and you're going to get what you want? Oh, hallelujah. It says ask. The commentary puts it this way. Asking is a simple use of the voice. It implies a simple petition. Lord, I need you. That's asking. I need you. Lord, I need you. Seeking is a motion of the body.
it indicates an earnest search. It means that you're really looking for it. You're really going for it. Amen? And knocking is an effort to go through some obstacles. That's why you got to ask, seek, and knock. You ask, it's on the mind. And it prompts us to ask God, Lord, you know I need a miracle right now. So we ask God. He already knows what you're going to ask, but you use your voice to ask God. Don't sit up there and hold it in your mind. He's a mind reader, but he's not going to read your mind. He says, out of your mouth, you must petition with your mouth. You must open your mouth. You must confess with your mouth. You know, sometimes I look at people, they come to the altar, they want something, and I say, can you open your mouth? Can you say Jesus? Can you call on the Lord? Can you ask him for what you want? It's not my job or any other altar worker to ask the Holy Spirit what you want. You know what you came up here for. He does too. I don't know what's going on in your life, but he does. You're seeking a blessing from him, not from me. Ask. Open your mouth. Step two, seek. God responds to you. Do you really want this? Do you really want this? If you really want this, seek. Come after it. Oh, hallelujah. Have you ever, somebody upset you or you were going for something and you were seeking to find them out? You wanted to know where they live. They did something to you. You chased after them. You seek them. You ask questions. That's seeking. You can ask God, but you have to seek after him. You have to let him know. You have to find God. He knows where he's at. He's where he's always been. He's not playing hide and go seek with you. He's where he's always been. And if you call on him, there's a difference between asking and calling. If you call on him, if you search after him, if you call his name, you are his lost child. Amen? He's already called you, but now you need to call him. He sent his son to seek after you, to call on you. That job's been done already. Came to seek and save those that were lost. He has given us the keys to the kingdom. He has already told us what it is that we need now. God may not do it the way that you want it, but he does it his way. Sometimes we ask and God gives us without even motivating us to seek it out. But sometimes he motivates us to get up and to go. I would think that since we some church folk in here and we know God already, we know his power, we know what he can do, that he motivates us because we should have known already. And since you know, you should have been doing it. To seek involves leaving something behind in order to pursue it. So you can ask. But when you go to seek from the Lord, There's something you got to leave back there in order to get to him. There's something that you have to leave behind because you can't seek from where you at. If you lost your child, you can't tell the police, I'm seeking him and you sitting at home. You got to get up and go somewhere. You got to get up and leave something behind. You might have been looking at TV, but it's time to go get your child. You got to get up and leave that TV behind. There's some sins you got to leave behind when you're seeking the Lord. You just can't come find him any old kind of way. And when you seek and you got to go, you need to leave all of that baggage off of you because you got to be mobile. You got to be able to move. There might be some twists and turns along the way. You got to be able to get in some stuff and get out. So when you ask and then you seek, there's some stuff. Paul says, I press forward towards the mark. Paul could see that there was something ahead for him. If you're seeking and you're looking for something, there's something up ahead for you. So you have to press forward towards the mark, leaving this other stuff behind. Sometimes you got to push it aside. Sometimes you got to kick it aside. Sometimes you got to be willing to put in the footwork. You understand what I'm saying? You got to put in the footwork. Footwork in your Christian life, in your relationship with the Lord is reading the Bible, spending some time with him, talking to your heavenly Father, knowing that his son died on the cross for you. Are you willing to make those sacrifices when you're seeking? Just like the demons. The disciples wanted to pray and then just pray. They just wanted to ask demons to be gone. But Jesus said, some things you got to fast and you got to pray. Amen? Some things you got to ask and you got to seek. When you seek, you got to make sacrifices. Amen? And you have to trust God. More than anything, you got to trust God. Do you got to trust God? You know how many people come up here and don't believe? Waiting for to be saved, waiting for miracles, waiting for healing, but they don't believe. I'm going to make it plain to you. My cousin was laying on the bed. Amen. She has stage 4, but she's preparing to go home. She wasn't preparing for healing. You understand what I'm saying? She trusts God. She had a relationship with God. She's preparing to go home. Okay? Sometimes you got to understand what somebody's prepared for. While you praying for somebody to live, they're ready to go. So how could I pray for her to live when she said, I'm ready to go? I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my time. My belief in what I wanted for her has got nothing to do with what God wanted for her. It has nothing to do with her relationship with the Lord. She reminded me of her father when I went to see him in the hospital. She raised her hand, Lord, I'm ready, I'm ready. What's my little belief going to talk about? You going to live when she's ready to go? She trusted God leading her where she was going. Amen. Step 3, knock. Once we get to where God wants us to go, are we willing to knock on the door? Have you ever gone somewhere, you're all flustered and built up to go get this somebody, something, or whatever. You go, even at work, you want to tell the boss a piece of your mind. And then you get to the door. And you don't knock. And you turn around and you walk away. And what you prepared, what you thought about, what you prayed about, it don't get done because you didn't knock. The Bible says we have to knock. Seek, ask, seek, and then knock. When you knock, that means that you're persistent. When you knock, that means you're going for it. That when you knock, that means that everything that you needed inside is coming to fruition right now. Sometimes now is the time, not later. But when you ask and you seek, now you go and you knock. Jesus, 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 you know me. You hear my plea. You understand what I'm going through. You know everything. God, I need you. I need you. I need healing. I need deliverance. I need you to work this situation out for me right now. It's not that he's asleep. He wanted how much you wanted. Ask, seek, and knock. Don't you know the things that you're going through right now, that it's time for us to start chasing after God? Don't you know it's time to stop being passive, waiting on the sidelines for things to happen? Don't you know it's time for you to take control? Because Jesus said, when I leave, I will give you power. We don't believe we got power. You know why I say that? Well, let me don't say that. Let me ask this. If you believe that you got power, stand up and give the Lord a praise this morning. If you know that you can overcome everything that the enemy has placed in your way, know that you got power. Give the Lord a praise this morning. If you trust and you believe in the book of Acts, that you can overcome everything because he has overcome the world, you need to give him a praise. You need to stop being passive. You need to praise the Lord. You need to serve the Lord. You need to know that he's got you. Somebody say amen. Somebody praise the Lord. Close your eyes and think about what it is right now that you're going to have power over. Power over drugs. Power over alcohol. Power over the demons that's affecting your family right now in the name of Jesus. All you got to do is give it to the Lord. Ask, seek, knock, and you shall find it. You got to ask. You got to seek, and you got to knock. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil take control of your family no longer. Don't let the devil run rampant in your life no longer. Don't give him an inch. Stop running around playing church. Stop running around playing like you got a relationship. Get strong in your relationship with the Lord. The stronger you get, the more power you're going to have. The more authority you're going to have in your household, in your life. Christ has died on the cross. He shed his blood. He rose again. He conquered death. Everybody scared of dying. Everybody has feelings about dying. But when you're in Christ, to die once is to live twice. Do you believe that this morning? Do you know that God never left you? Hallelujah. He said he never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you know that whenever you go somewhere and you feel by yourself, there's not one, there's four of you. There's you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to make it plain to you. Songwriter says, never alone. You're never alone. You don't have to wait till you get to the sweet by and by. Right now, you're never alone. Right now, God is working on your behalf. Right now, he's working in your favor. Right now, he's working things out for you. Right now, he's turning things over right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, illness has got to go. Healing has to happen. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord right now. Give him a hallelujah. Give him a praise. Know that God is working right now. in the middle of the night while you're asleep. God never sleeps. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of a year, all the days of your life, God is working it out for you. Songwriter said he's a healer, he's a deliverer, he's a restorer, he's a way maker. Oh, my God's a way maker. How about your God this morning? Is he a way maker? Is he a way maker? Is he making a way for you? Is he making narrow paths wide for you? But you got to trust him. And you got to give it all to him. You got to stop playing games. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! God ain't holding nothing back from you. He's waiting for you to chase after him. He's waiting for you to give up all that you got. He's waiting for you to make him the most important person in your life. Don't you know that you're very important to him? But he's waiting for you to make him the most important person in your life. Oh, hallelujah. When you chase after him, he hears you. He hears the pitter-patter of our little feet. He hears the pitter-patter of our little praises. He knows that we're chasing after him. Oh, hallelujah. Do you want him this morning? Do you need him this morning? Do you have him this morning? If you don't have him, now's your time. Hallelujah. If you don't have him, now's your time. If you don't have him, now is your time. I'm not.